Well, it's an honor for Leanne and I to stand before you and minister what God has. And I'm like you, I'm looking to heaven, what He wants to bring out today. Because I know God's going to do more than what I'm sharing and bringing out. That He's going to show and reveal things to each one of us. Let's pray before we go any farther. So, Father, we just thank You for this time that we can gather in Your name. We can move and cooperate with You. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You for the great workings of the Holy Spirit. And we thank You, Father, which You're revealing and showing and bringing revelation and impartation. And we give You thanks now for this time in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to share some things about the Holy Spirit. But before I turn to the Scripture, I want to give a little introduction I think will help us. If we go back to Genesis, where Adam and Eve committed high treason against God, when they ate that fruit, God said, in that day you'll surely die. Their spirits died unto God. And a result of that, the soul of man took ascendancy. And, you know, we've learned, of course, we are a spirit, we have a soul, and live in a body. And because of that, a man's soul took ascendancy, then man has been operating out of that realm, which is not good, alone, without God. So it's produced wars, it's produced, you know, selfishness, people trying to dominate one another, and on and on. And God, of course, had a plan, was to bring us into a family, His family. And of course, you see in the Old Testament, God always had to deal with people from the outside. But His goal, of course, was Jesus to come to the earth and redeem mankind. And if you look in John, let's turn to John 16 there. Let me find the scripture I want to share. Is John 16:13, and these chapters in John 14:15 and 16, Jesus starts talking to disciples and introducing them to the Holy Spirit, and of course they're not too excited about this because they've been with Jesus this time, they've gotten, so close to Him. They observed how wonderful things are, everything with Him. And now, he's been telling for a long time He's going to be leaving, but they don't want to hear that, so just ignore that. And now He's telling them there's going to be another person coming. He said another comforter, the Holy Spirit. Let's look here in John 16:13, King James, and I read this version for a reason. It says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He'll guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. Whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He'll show you things to come." And I think because of that King James version, which is a wonderful version, but it could be a little misleading or a little misguiding to us in this aspect, is because we saw that He said the Holy Spirit wouldn't speak of Himself, so we didn't, or at least some of us didn't pay much attention, not meaning to. And then we start growing in God and start realizing, you know, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit's referred to, you know, as emblems, fire, rain, oil, and different things, but He's none of that. Those are just characteristics of Him, that He is a person. He's not an it. He's not a force. He's not an influence. Well, He can bring influence, but He's a person. And also, He is God, the Holy Spirit. And then I think the best example of the Trinity that we can see in the New Testament is when Jesus was baptized in water, when from God the Father spoke from heaven, Jesus is in the river, and the Holy Spirit descended as a dove. He's not a dove, as a dove. Signifying something about how the Holy Spirit is very gentle, He's sensitive, and so forth. And but really, a better rendering of this verse is what it really means is that the Holy Spirit will not speak out of His own resources. He only speaks what the Father has to say. And I've been endeavoring more and more to be more conscious of God, the Holy Spirit, in me. And then I'm going to read another verse here in a minute. And so it's that relating to Him as a person. And God knows we grow in things and develop in things. But I thought if there's ever a minister, and there's been many, of course, that really demonstrated depending upon and working with the Holy Spirit was Catherine Kuhlman. She totally yielded. And it was a growing thing. So dependent upon the Holy Spirit, and she had such powerful meetings and in that. But the reason was her dependency on the person and God, the Holy Spirit. Well, you and I as believers can walk in and move in things in everyday life with the help of the Holy Spirit. Now in John, same chapter, in verse 7, John 16:7, and Jesus said this to them, "However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it's profitable, it's good, it's expedient, it's advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Strengthener, the Standby, will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I'll send Him to you to be in close fellowship with you." And the one thought part of the Holy Spirit of the person I wanted to focus on more today was on the strengthener, was on the strength of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I like it said, you know, the Amplified brings out, He's the strengthener, He's not the weakener. He's the strengthener. And so, you know, as we grow in God, we start to recognize our spirit man is supposed to take the ascendancy over our soul. Of course, our soul, as you know, is our mind, our emotions, our will, all those kind of things. And it's an important thing of the importance of yielding to our inner man or yielding to the Spirit of God. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Romans, he said, "I delight in the inward man." And so if for us to really follow God and to move of God and fulfill the will of God in our lives, it takes the strength from heaven. And if anything we can observe from Peter, when he said, told Jesus, "I'll never deny you," and Jesus said, "You're going to deny me three times." Well, Peter loves the Lord. Jesus is his best friend. And what we can learn was that the strength of your soul will not stand when the pressure comes. The strength of just your, "I can do it, I will do it, I will do it." Peter meant what he said. But the pressure overcame him. And the third time, this is something too, the third time it shows in Luke when he denied the Lord. Not only did the cock crow, Jesus heard him and turned and looked at him. Turned and looked at him. Now, you know, the look that Jesus gave him was not condemning, but maybe one of the looks could have been, "Don't you know who I am?" But God's love is so great. God's love is so good. I mean, Jesus, as you know, restored Peter. Never again does Peter rely on the strength of his soul, the strength of his flesh. Well,
Thank goodness we can learn. You know, one thing about the Bible, it reveals the good and the bad and the ugly. God just shows it all. God didn't hide things out. There's people who did things, people did good things in the Bible, things did bad things and evil things. God just, you know, his kids, so to speak. You know, it's a learning thing to be inside-minded versus outside-minded. You know, I shared some things one time earlier here, but, you know, we have to be outside-minded to deal with everyday life, and be, you know, natural things, of course. But God said, don't trust in that. Don't lean on that. And so it's a learning how to, you know, move with God, so to speak, and do natural things, and really they go together. But it's a learning to not let my reasoning override what God's trying to do. I find the reasons of our mind don't work the things of God. Now, there's a place for that. We need to be people who think. We do. God's not saying don't be a no mind. He's saying don't trust in that. Be open to me. Be open to me. Be open to me. Doesn't God say in Isaiah, come let us reason together? What's that mean? You say, in other words, if I can get a thought from God, his thoughts are always higher, so then I'm going to have a higher way. I'm going to have a better way. That kind of reasoning. He's going to bring a lift to me. And so, thinking about the strength of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, he can strengthen us physically. He can strengthen us mentally and every other way. Because here's what happens. No matter how talented, how strong or capable we think we are, every single one of us requires God's strength to accomplish his will and enjoy our lives. Now, as we ask the Holy Spirit for strength every day, he's going to energize us to do our work, to resist temptation, to be kind and loving with others, have success. I like one of these, Isaiah 40:29. I like this. It's a very good verse about strength. Isaiah 40:29 says this. He gives power to the faint and weary, and to him who has no might, he increases strength, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. The Holy Spirit helps us, gives us that strengthening, gives us that when we can maybe feel weak. God says something about that. I want to talk about how weak I am, and God says, no, let the weak say I'm strong. But I want to talk about that. So I learned not to talk about that. There's a lot of things going on in the world today. You could say there's a lot of shaking going on. And God, part of it, having the strength is to move through things. Is to move through barriers and past barriers. I'm thinking right now about the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City. Bob Beamon is doing the long jump. Well, you know, the Olympics usually gather the best athletes in the world. And they're prepared, the officials, for records to be broken. And so Bob Beamon has a tremendous jump on the long jump. And he's waiting to see how far he jumped. I mean, he knew he had a good jump. 15 minutes has gone by, and there's been no information put up. Well, here's what's happened. The world record at that time was around 27 feet, 6 inches. Well, he went 27 feet. He knew he was in that arena. They set up a measuring, all the optical, so they don't have to use a manual tape measure. They have it all set up. But his jump went farther than their equipment. He jumped over 29 feet. Normally, most records like that are broken by a few inches. He went so far, he didn't know he went that far. They had to go get a tape measure to measure out. One man said, "You just destroyed the long jump." Obviously, he must have thought that ruined his chances. But here's what I saw out of that. Well, on your ability, you can do this much. With the help of God, you can go beyond what the limits supposedly are. These are the limits. In the mind of the officials, well, we got it covered what they're going to do today. We got it covered. Except when Bob Beamon showed up. With the help of the Holy Spirit and being strengthened, we can go through and past the limitations we might have in ourselves. My own mind could maybe have some limitations. But God sees it different. Even Bob, I mean, he didn't, he might say in one sense, expect to go that far. I mean, he's doing the best he could. But to break a record by almost 2 feet in the long jump. I mean, I'm just talking about a natural thing. How much more, with the help and strengthener of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives, we can go past, well, this is as far as you can go. Oh, really? What's heaven saying about that? Heaven says you're about to get started, keep on going. You're about to get started, step on out. I'm going to help you, step on out. I'm going to help you. One thing I've learned about God, from God's viewpoint, everything's always total victory. The Holy Spirit, all he knows is victory. When he comes, he sees victory. I may not be seeing much at all. But when he comes, if I let him to strengthen me on that inner man, I can take another step when I didn't think I could take another step. Then I can take another step because I didn't think I could take another step. Why? Because of the strengthener, the strength from within. Look at Ephesians 3. In Paul's prayer, gotta find this here. I like how the Amplified puts this. Paul said, May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. Strengthened and reinforced. You take just a natural thing like concrete, and concrete is strong, and then they put rebar in there, it gets even stronger. So God said, so Paul realized the importance. I must have an inner strength, and I want to pray. I want for us to realize, not always is he strong in me. He's reinforcing in me. He's reinforcing. A strength from God, the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes God will lead us to do different things, go a different way, and help us and have the strength to do that. 1964 Olympics, the high jump. A man by the name of Fosbury came with a new technique of going over the bar. years ago, they did the scissors thing. Then they rolled. He started, but he called the Fosbury flop, going over backwards head first. He could not do the other two. He tried it. He wasn't really so much an athlete, but he tried this. He won the gold medal. It totally changed high jumping. Everybody that high jumps does that today. Newness. New ways from the Spirit. You know, there's always barriers to go through. There's barriers to go through. Mind about Chuck Yeager. The sound barrier. They went for sure you could go through that. Because they're learning. They're learning. How are we going to do? How are we going to approach this sound barrier? Because the planes that would get close to that, because of the disturbance, there's a lot of shaking, they'd have to back off. And so Chuck Yeager, he'd been flying, and then the man who was over this project observed him. Here's the thing he observed about Chuck. First of all, he said that he was the best instinctive pilot they had. He said he noticed that under pressure, Chuck could stay focused and stay calm. And so, Chuck didn't have much education. I think high school, that was about it. And so he's a listed man, but he eventually rose to the rank of Brigadier General, which is very unusual. But, and of course, at that time, they had this plane or that X-1, they attach under a plane and take it up and then drop it, and then for him to, accelerate from there into off of this sound barrier. Well, he got up to that, feel that, and he backed off and something wasn't right. And so they had to make some adjustments on the plane and give him more control on what to do. And so, after several attempts, and of course, some of these pilots, they lost their lives in doing these kind of things, these experimental aircraft. In fact, one time he got such a spin, he got out of it. Most pilots would have died. But when the time finally came, when he broke through that sound barrier, here's what he said about it. This was like a poke going through jello. I think we need some more pokes going through jello. You can't go through that. You can't go through that, says who? Now, Lord, am I supposed to go through this? Barriers. The best people sometimes. 4-minute mile. You can't run faster than a 4-minute mile. You can't do that. All the experts said you can't do that. Until Roger Bannister broke it in 54. And then they thought, after that, of course, then others started doing that below 4 minutes. And then they thought, if you're going to really advance and run under 4 minutes, you've got to be a world-class runner in your 20s. Until Jim Ryan from high school showed up, and they invited him to this event. He's running with world-class runners. He came in seventh or so, but he broke the 4-minute mile in high school. First one to do it. Then they realized, you don't have to wait till you're in your 20s. You can do it at a younger age. And then two or three others, they in high school broke the record. They got under 4 minutes. It's by the strength of the Holy Spirit. I want to read another verse in Isaiah. Oh, yes, Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10. God says, fear not. There's nothing to fear. For I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen and harden your difficulties. Yes, I'll help you. Yes, I'll hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of righteousness and justice. Harden you to difficulties. You know, I used to farm, and there's some equipment that you pull behind the, of course, the tractor, the metal, because of the friction of the soil, we would have those blades hard surfaced. Remember, it's plowing and the shares, it would hard surface them. And got off one time, the clear something, you cannot touch that metal. It was so hot. It was just the friction and the things of the soil. Well, that hard surfacing would so make that blade last so much longer. God says, I'm going to harden you. To me, it speaks so I don't wimp out. So I don't quit. I may want to quit. I may feel like quitting. He said, I'm going to harden you to difficulties. What used to be you couldn't go through, you can go through because I'm strengthening you. I'm helping you. And he says, it's interesting. He says, don't fear. Is that a big deal, fear? There's nothing to fear. Well, there is a place to be fear in the natural. But God says, if you recognize who I am, I'm with you, I'm in you. I may have to think, I may have to meditate a little bit to get past this thing, because you know how we do. There's things that present themselves, and fear is attached to it. But God says, wait a minute, hey, don't fear. And don't look around. What do you mean don't look around? Don't look around. You better keep your eyes on me. You better keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. Remember, I think about the 23rd Psalm. God says, I set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. That tells me that all the enemy can do is look on. But God is saying, pull up to the table and keep your focus on the table. Don't look around. The enemy's, you know, he's distracting. He's trying to get us away from the table. He's trying to get us out of that. God's not afraid of the enemy. In wartime, you would never set a table up where the enemy can see you. No, are you kidding? No, they're going to shoot me. Right? But God says, I'm putting the table right here where the enemy's at. And he can't do anything if you'll stay focused and don't look around. Because if I look around, I'm going to get distracted, and all of a sudden, with that, I'm going to see something that's not good. It's going to present fear. Don't look around in terror and be dismayed. Oh, no. Oh, dismayed. What's that? I mean, I'm going down. I'm getting, the circumstances are starting to bring me down. Nope. God's lifting me. The Holy Spirit's a great lifter. He brings us strength. He brings us strength. He is a strengthener. You know, he brings strength. He is a strength. He is a strengthener. Second Thessalonians 3:3 says this. Yet the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and set you on a firm foundation and guard you from the evil one. Isn't that good? God's doing that. I just need to cooperate with him. I need to yield to him. Or here you could say, here's a great one. Psalms 121:2. I like this. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Whatever kind of help we need, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And the heavens are something else. We know just naturally from our scientists, as far as they get telescopes out there, it just goes on. The universe goes on and on and on. Our God made that. So maybe he can take care of us. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from God who made heaven and earth. Who made it? That gives a little higher perspective, doesn't it? And not only that, He lives in us. If you've accepted Jesus, He lives in us. He lives in me. He lives in you. The God who made heaven and earth. So I can trust. I trust Him. I can look to Him. Lord, I thank You, Holy Spirit. You're strengthening me today. You're strengthening me today. I can make better decisions with Your help. I can be strengthened in every way. Whatever area I need, I can be strengthened from the inner man. From the inner man. You know, growing up in different things, you run into different people saying, it seems like some people always want to tell you what God won't do. I find that God's just opposite. Through the Bible, He's always trying to tell us what He wants to do. Of course, He's already done all this, but He's trying to get across to us, hey, I want to do this. I have done this through Christ Jesus. I want to. I want to. I want to. And if you look at Jesus and follow Him, He was always reaching out. Jesus did not live as a monk. He said He dwelt among them. He was out moving the people. He didn't have a monk's lifestyle. He was out so people could observe Him from every angle, every angle, every angle, and they saw He's the real deal. He's the real thing. He's the real thing. You know something? Don't take a picture of this side. That's not the best side. Can we do this side? No. Every side. He was the same. He was the same. Said, what about doing good? Healing all. Sick. Press the devil. Jesus is the answer to everything. And of course, the Holy Spirit is always revealing things about Jesus. The Holy Spirit is always pointing to God the Father, to Jesus. See, he's not speaking of Himself, but He's speaking out of not His own resources, but He's telling us what the Father said. Jesus, as we observe His life, He totally depended upon the Father and the Holy Spirit. Both of them. He said, I do nothing of myself. The miracles you see is not of me. God the Father, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's our example. When He came, even though He was all God, His divinity was put in part. He walked as a man on this earth, yielded and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Because when He went to the desert with Satan, those temptations were real temptations. There was a lot of pressure. There was a lot with that. He could have yielded. I mean, He had a choice to yield to that. It was that real. If it wasn't a temptation. I noticed Satan offered Him a lot more than He offers you and I. I never had Him offer me the world. How about you? No. There was an enticement. In other words, Jesus, He could have given into that. But remember, before He went, He was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And He said He was led by the Spirit. So He went out there with the Spirit and God the Father. And of course, He's on a fast, and He's at a weakened stake physically, and the devil knows when to show up. But Jesus didn't rely on Himself. I mean, in other words, everything in Him was crying to... And of course, the devil wanted to use the Bible, the Word, to use enough, you know, to come against Him. Well, if the, make these stones into bread, if you're who you say you are. He's trying to get Jesus to doubt who He is. And on and on. Well, the strength of God, the strength of the Holy Spirit helps us move past the temptation. The real things happen. There's real things come to you and I in this life. Real things. I cannot overcome that in my power. I cannot just overcome it because I might know the Word. I got to have somebody helping me in this process. I got to have somebody that's stronger than I am. Does not the Scripture say that what? I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. How's my strength going? Not so good. But it's in Him. It's in Him. Pardon? Okay. Well, you know, yes, natural. Well, you know, physically, we can do natural things to build our strength up. You know, doing weights and different things like that to build our strength up. And those are going to be good things. Well, there's things that we can do to strengthen our inner man by finding scriptures and speaking the word over ourselves and meditating on that so that it gets from here down into here. So the Bible, as you know, the Bible doesn't work unless I get off the page and get it in here, in here, in here. But we know that. And so as I exercise with that and meditate and speak things, speak the word, confess the word, different things God will show you to speak. And in that process, it's a growing thing. It's a growing thing, learning. Sometimes, you know, I know what happens. We get strengthened, don't even know we got strengthened. We've been in meetings, we got things we didn't know we got from the inside. And so one thing I've learned, too, that's helped me to recognize the inward man is through prayer. And one thing I learned was praying out of my spirit, not out of my head. And so finding out what works and what doesn't work, but start seeing results. God sometimes will let you see some things just to encourage you and help you. And I know one thing we were praying one time. We get words at different times to pray. And so we had this word, rescue, come. So we started praying about that, started covering our family, covering everything. And so we're out ministering, and long story short, this young man was from Russia. He was a believer, but he's starting to walk away from God. And we called him up, some young people, because we're going to pray for the pastor. She's going over to see the minister. So I had them come up, and so Leanne felt impressed just to touch him, weighing that. When she did, the power of God started going to him. He never felt that, and he started hollering, "I've been rescued! I've been rescued! I've been rescued!" And we had another situation. What? Yeah, Lance said that touch from God strengthened him. That touch from God. See, he experienced the reality of God right then. He experienced that. All of a sudden, it changed him. Because he's getting ready to walk away because of some things weren't working. All of a sudden, it changed him to turn. And hallelujah. Yeah, the Holy Spirit can demonstrate. One other thing about rescue. This young woman that we know went to a brand new Walmart in town in the daytime. Not many cars there. It was kind of unusual for, you know, Walmart. So she went and got her stuff, and when she came out, her car's parked out of her ways. She noticed as she's walking out, there's two men behind her, and there's two men out there. They're all coming towards her. And so she's debating what to do. She realized she can't outrun them. She could holler, but nobody's out there. And as they're getting closer, pretty close, just about that time, a policeman drives in the parking lot. They all scatter. Rescue, rescue. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, just by His showing helpfulness, strengthened on the inside, can show us things to do, show us what to do. But He's such a help, such a strengthener.